On the screen of my television is flashing the face of a very beloved friend. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, bringing you Instant Illumination. The face of a very beautiful friend. And this beautiful friend has wanted to come to campus and be with us and share with us for a period of time while she was working on different circumstances that were bothering her. And as she made these attempts to come to campus, in the past she succeeded at many times to come and been so delightfully benefited, so uplifted, so risen in her consciousness that she just felt like she is queen of the world. Well, recently she tried to come and visit, and she had a mental attitude that told her she wasn't a very nice person. She had a mental attitude that told her that her life was filled with all sorts of unhappiness and that she couldn't be herself and have fun, that she had to follow certain rules and she had to do certain things. And she was very unhappy about it. But she made a decision to come to campus, and she was going to come to campus, and she did everything she could to come. But she was her own worst enemy. She allowed her inner self, which said, you don't want to do that. If you go to campus, you'll become balanced. If you go to campus, you'll start to train yourself into being aware that you're a worthwhile person, that you're a wonderful person. You don't want to do that. And her inner self is telling her these things because her inner self is her inner flag that says, no, you don't want to improve. You don't want to be your divine self. You don't want to be whole and perfect. You don't want to be so wonderful. We all have that inner self within us that drags us down and wants to hold us back. Herb, what are you saying? You're saying that our inner self does... I thought you said our inner self is what leads us into our highest and our best. Well, perhaps we have several inner selves. Perhaps we have several inner selves. And to think of it, we might really have several inner selves. One inner self says, I like me, and the other inner self says, I don't like me. One inner self says, I'm a wonderful person, and another inner self says, I'm not a nice person at all. I don't deserve anything. I'm a terrible, terrible, terrible person. Now, are you going to tell me that you don't have these inner selves that are fighting for your attention and for your presence and your awareness? Oh, my. Science gives many names to the inner self. And anytime we give a name to something, we allow it to be significant. And so we're not going to give an inner name to it. We're not going to say it's a certain type of mind or whatever it is. We're just going to say it's an inner self that doesn't want us to be a success. That's an interesting statement. It's an inner self that doesn't want us to be a success. And we have an inner self that wants us to be a success. That's an inner self that looks around us and says, hey, it'd be nice to be doing what all these other people are doing and enjoying myself. It'd be nice to be liking myself. It'd be nice to enjoy my presence. It'd be nice to feel good about myself. It'd be nice to feel happy and healthy and whole. It'd be nice to do that. You see, that's one inner self. Another inner self says, ha, you're not worth it. You're an unworthy person. You're not worthy of feeling nice. You're not worthy of enjoying life. You're not worthy of doing anything you want to do. You don't deserve it. Not at all. You don't deserve it. See? So now, these inner selves are fighting within us. Well, not really fighting. And I think that is a big point that we want to be very definite on. They are not fighting. The self that says, I like me, it's not looking at the self that says, I don't like me, and saying, hey, get out of here. The self that says, I like me, is the self that says, I like me. It's just saying, I like me. And that's all it's saying. That's all it's saying. That's all it's being. It's not saying anything else under the sun. It's not relating to anything else. It's not revealing anything else. It's just saying, I like me. Now, the self that's saying, I don't like me, doesn't really care whether the self says, I like me or not. The self that says, I don't like me, is just going on with this interesting bit of information, this interesting fair, and going on and saying, hey, this is what it's all about, this is where it's from, this is who it is, this is life, this is all. And as we listen to that self, we think to ourselves, hey, that's a crazy way to look at things, that's a crazy way to be, and it is a crazy way to be. Now, how can we stay with the I like me and with the happiness self and sort of not let the other self that wants to say, I don't like me, and wants to take control, how can we stay with the I like me and not be touched by the I don't like me? Well, as in all medicines, you have to go along with whatever it is that is going to help you. You don't take a medicine that's going to hurt you. You take a medicine that's going to help you. Now, the medicine is, I like me. And when we train ourselves to say, I like me, I like me, I like me, we build an inner reservoir of power and truth and love and awareness. And this inner reservoir is so profound, it is so upstanding, so marvelous, that we just wonder what it is that is happening here, what it is that is going on here. And we think to ourselves, can that be? Can that be that I am wonderful? And then we say, can this be that I am wonderful? And then we look back at things in our life that haven't been so wonderful. And we say, well, that wasn't so good. That wasn't so good. Oh, I got lots of, oh. And little by little, we build up the pain resource. And we say, hey, I had lots of bad experiences. And we watch movies on terrible things, and in watching these movies, we build those up in our reservoir too. They don't belong to us. They're just something that we bought or rented and brought into our life that don't even belong to us. It's not even part of our world. And yet we claim that as part of our world. What silly people. What very, very silly people that we will bring into our world something that doesn't even belong to us, like movies, you know? Horror movies, oh, goodness sakes. We don't need that. We want to bring in uplifting things. Now, can you dream your most wonderful dream? Can you be Pollyanna? Can you be amazed at yourself? And can you be in love with yourself? Can you be happy with yourself? Can you live your life in such a way that every moment a beautiful experience is taking place? Can you live your life in such a way that every single moment some magic is happening to you? Herb, what sort of fantasy land are you living in? Well, maybe that's a good point. I'm living in a fantasy land. I'm sitting here in the Hermitage, and I'm looking at the world, and I'm saying, hey, what a wonderful world. Hey, what a wonderful life. Hey, everything is great and everything is good. And I'm thinking to myself, yes, that's true. Everything is great and everything is good. And as I think, yes, that's true, I'm thinking, hey, how can I do that? How can I have everything be great and be good? How can I have everything be fantastic and glorious and wonderful? How can I have that? Well, I have that in one very simple way. I have that in the way of saying, I like me. I have that in the way of saying, hey, I'm a wonderful person. I have that in the way of saying, here I am sitting in the Hermitage, and it is morning. It is 7:40 in the morning, and the sun is brightly shining. And I look outside and I see the sun shining on my flowering plants. I see the sun coming through the trees and sort of shining through the leaves, making everything look so green and so beautiful and so glorious. I look at a spider web that is being blessed by the sun. The sun is shining right through the spider web, and the spider web is between trees, and it's a beautiful nest that is creating a catch-all for the spider to catch some of its food. I see the bright sun shining through the window onto the carpet here. And I see Rex lying on the carpet there, letting the sun just soak up into his beingness, just enjoying every little minute. I look up above the carpet, up past my mirrored wall and to the ceiling, and there I see my hats hanging on the ceiling. They're hanging from hooks up there. I see the lamps, I see the hooks, I see the clocks. I see everything so beautiful, and I see the furniture of my house, everything so beautifully appointed. There's not a lot of things here, and the space is not great, but it's more than enough to fulfill every desire that I have. And I, even in this small room with these few pieces of furniture, I rearrange the furniture from time to time, putting it in one way or another way, just to see how it's a little different. I'm not frustrated by anything. I'm just enjoying my own house. I'm enjoying my creativity. I'm enjoying the magic of living. And I look straight ahead of me, and there is my window, my plant window, with the two shelves in it. And there my 1, 2, 3, 4 orchids, and 3 of them are blooming just valiantly, wonderfully, white orchids and yellow orchids and purple orchids, and one is just a glorious green plant, and when it blooms it'll be lovely too. I'll be interested to see what the colors will be there. And then I have my philodendron that is just going around there, and I have all these other succulent plants that are just popping up and growing so beautifully, and I give them water and I give them love, but I let them do their thing. And because I let them do their thing, they just say, I'm growing, I'm getting taller and taller and taller. And sometimes they get so tall, they grow right out of the window and into the room. And I snip them off and I clip them. And there, as I look out the window, there's a lovely little hummingbird. He's going to some of the plants, the flowers, and taking his morning nectar. He's drinking and enjoying it so. And his wings are fluttering, and he is just having such a great thing. And he's just glorious to watch. And he's right in front of my eyes. And he's saying, "Hey, I love you." And as he takes some nectar from a flower, a little leaf falls off. There's a little bunny rabbit just crawled under the gate, and he came inside, and he's taking a look around. Wow, do I have a wonderful life. A life just filled with all sorts of great and wonderful things. And the little bunny rabbit turned around and said, "I think I'll head out the gate again. I feel that inside this gate is a big dog who has no great love for having rabbits in his playground." You see, we can look around us and we can find great joy, great love, great peace. We can find magic everywhere we go if we wish it. And it's always there for us. Now, what do you want to find in your world? Do you want to find joy? Now I'm looking at Rex. He just leaped up onto my bed. His head is on my pillow, and he's laying there with his face looking out the window, watching all the critters that are walking around in the yard, his yard. And he says, "That's okay, you guys. I'm where I belong. I'm lying on my dad's bed, and I'm as comfortable as can be, and I'm happy as can be, and I am just where I belong." And isn't this true for all of us? We are just where we belong. We are doing what we want to do. We have the opportunity of allowing the things inside of us that say to us, "We're not very nice." We have the opportunity to allow things inside of us say to us that we can't do this and we can't do that. We have the opportunity to let that Mr. Negative in us take control. And Mr. Positive in us is just having a struggling time. And then we say, "No, Mr. Positive is not having a struggling time. Mr. Positive is having a wonderful, easy time. I turn my attention on Mr. Positive, and I turn my attention on the flowers. I turn my attention on the sunlight cruising through my windows here. I turn my attention on the beautiful trees around. I turn my attention on the manzanita trees that just grow profoundly and profundently, and everything is so beautiful, so wonderful, so fantastic. I turn my attention to my cup of coffee sitting next to my little my little recorder here, just listening to me, and its little red light is glowing, saying, "Yes, I'm on. Yes, I'm doing just fine. Yes, I'm doing what I like to do." So I think to my friend, who was so struggling to come and be part of the campus for a while and get her balance back and get her life in order, and I think to myself, "Come, come. You can make it. You can make it. You may not have made it at one time, but you can make it." And then she says, "Well, I'm getting used to being here. I'm getting used to this here." Yeah, that's right. You're getting used to it. And you see, I'm not saying that you need to come here to get your balance. I'm just saying that you felt you could go there, come here, and get your balance, and then you should do it. You felt you could do it, and you should do it. Wherever we are, we can get our balance. But if we want to do something to get our balance, if we want to train ourselves, if we want to learn to love ourselves, if we want to learn to be all that we are, we can do that too. And if it means coming to campus, then that's fine. I worked with so many people here on campus who come from time to time, and they've had marvelous experiences. And then they've gone back home, and they've fallen back into the same routine that they had before, and all of the work that they did on campus was just sort of left behind. It wasn't lost, it was just left behind, waiting for another day when they want to walk a better way. You carry within you the gift of knowing where you're going. You carry within you the gift of being confident in who you are. And so long as you live that gift, you will do well. So long as the ant realizes that it knows where it's going, it will never be lost. So long as the Eskimo realizes that he is not going by sight, he is not going by anything in the outer, he is only going by something in the inner, he can walk through the most blinding snowstorm that has the most tremendous whiteout about it, and he will be able to walk home with his eyes closed, knowing exactly where he's going. This is what I would like to have each of us experience. I'd like to have each of us know who we are and where we're going, and go there. It doesn't mean going to a place or leaving wherever we are. It merely means we are at peace with ourselves. We are at one-ment with ourselves. We like ourselves just the way we are. It's not a matter of liking ourselves with our unhappinesses or with our body that needs loving or things like that. It's a matter of who we really are. The ant likes itself with its ability to home to wherever it is. The Eskimo likes himself with his ability to find wherever his home, wherever he may be. He may be in the most difficult circumstances, and he'll find his way. And so it is with you and me. If we will listen within, not to the "I can't," and not to the "it won't work," but listen within to the "I can, and I know the way, and I am guided by my inner reality, my inner compass, my inner direction, my inner love, my inner self, and I am always directed wisely." Know that for yourself today, and you'll find your way home. And your way home is to your own heart, where you belong, where you're at home, where all things work out in divine order. Well, my beloved friends, it's always a joy to share with you, and it's always a joy to be with you. But the joyous being with you is what I find in my heart when I think about you. And that love that I have for you, I have for me too. And I feel so peaceful, so content, so right with all the world. Join me in this feeling of rightness, because that's what we are. I love you. I love you. I love you.